Hi, everybody. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today in this first Sunday of Lent. So this last Wednesday was the beginning of the Lenten season as we enter into this 40 days, of course, not counting Sundays, but this 40 days of fasting, of prayer, of almsgiving, of forgiveness. The list goes on and on, right? But it's mainly those three things. The fasting, you know, looking at this interior penance, looking at, you know, what we're consuming, the foods that we're consuming. Are we, you know, abusing that? But also just to, you know, and we also know that too, you know, that our thinking becomes, you know, kind of crystal clear when we're right at that point, you know, where we're not, where our blood sugar is just perfect, right? It's not too high, it's not too low. It's balanced, right? So we think about that. Am I balanced or am I out of balance? I think it's just a beautiful way for us to look at, even from a scientific standpoint, of our bodies being out of balance, right? Am I not eating properly? Am I too skinny, right? Such a thing. People say, whoa, that's impossible. Yeah, it is possible. I mean, we can become, that's a sickness in itself, right? Anorexia, these neuroses that we get, as well as eating too much, you know, and we need to, you know, there are support groups that can help us with those things too. But fasting, looking at what we're eating, prayer, are we praying? People will say, well, you know, it's no big deal, it's prayer, you know, or I don't need to pray, right? Well, when we lose someone in our families, my brothers and sisters, when someone dies in our families, and you know, just this last week when we hear about Alex Trebek, you know, who has pancreatic cancer now, you know, it suddenly appears to us that we're all going to die. But if it's not someone that we don't know, or someone like our mother or father, brother, sister, God forbid a child, we think nothing of it. I don't need to pray. Well, okay, if you don't want to pray for yourself, then pray for me, right? Pray for Deacon Louis. Pray that I say the right things on the radio. You know, 99.9% of the time, I usually try to be 100% of the time, I preach and teach about what the Catholic Church teaches and has taught for the last 2,000 years. That's very comforting for me to know that I'm not just blurting out a bunch of whatever, okay? But we focus in on the scriptures, we focus in on the history of the church, the traditions of the church, the traditions of the saints, those who've gone before us, those who have walked the walk and talked the talk, have been through the battles. And of course, we are in a battle in the church, a battle against evil. We have evil within the church. We have evil outside the church. But do I pray? Right? So fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, this interior love. So all of these things, interior penance, interior conversion, interior love. You know, do I offer anything to my brothers and sisters? Food or prayer, even alms, prayer can be a type of almsgiving too, giving of your time, giving to the soup kitchen, giving to your neighbor, someone you know who needs money, giving them a tank full of gas, or even a family member, you know, not enabling them, okay, because we don't want to enable people either. You know, when people need to work, if people can work, they should work. And if you don't work, work is a lot more than just making money. You know, sometimes they think the politicians like us to be unemployed so they can control us, right? It's all about control for them, about them getting elected, about them having the power, about them being lording over us, see? And we have to think about that. But if we do not fast, if we do not pray, if we do not practice almsgiving, if we don't practice the things of Christ, we become lost. And so let's go right into the scriptures on this first Sunday of Lent. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. This is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, covering all southwestern Michigan. And we're glad you're with us, and we're glad the weather's breaking, right? I mean, it is going to be spring. We see in the stores, and Myers and other assorted stores, you know, they're putting out garden hoses and sprinklers, and we know spring is coming, right? We know Easter is coming. We see the Easter baskets. But let us not make this a supermarket, holiday. Let Easter be a real resurrection of the dead. The dead amongst us. The dead inside of us. The deadness inside of us. Let that be resurrected to life. To true life in Christ. And the wonder and the amazement of Jesus Christ. So our first reading today is from Deuteronomy. Chapter 25, 4 through 10. Moses spoke to the people saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall sit it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you should declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Arman who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord for God our fathers, and he heard our cry. He saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt. With his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil, which you, O Lord, have given me, and having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is our psalm reading, Psalm 91. "Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Mighty, say to the Lord, 'My refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust.' Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. No evil shall befall you, nor shall affliction come near your tent. For to his angels he has given command about you, that they guard you in all your ways. Upon their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the asp and the viper. You shall trample down the lion and the dragon. Because he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and glorify him. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble." Our next reading is from Romans chapter 10, 8 through 13. "Brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. For the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 1 through 13. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, that I may give it to whomever I wish. All of this will be yours, if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hand they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some powerful readings there, especially when we have this conversation that's going on between Jesus and the devil. Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus has a beautiful treatise on this in his book, I believe it's Jesus of Nazareth. And it's a great book to read this time of the year. It's kind of gold, has a gold and purple cover to it. I will bring that out next week and we'll do some readings from it. But I know Pope Benedict makes mention here, and so do many other Catholic theologians, that the devil is a Bible scholar. He knows the word, see. He is very crafty, but he is a liar. Satan tempts Jesus three times. Then he waits for another opportune time. Jesus also reminds the devil that adoration of God and of worship of Jesus only belongs to God. But what does the devil say? "You worship me, and this will be all yours if you worship me." So in a certain kind of sense, my brothers and sisters, we do worship one or the other, don't we? and sometimes other things as well. You know, as I mentioned this last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, I talked about, and we have this in the Catholic Church, but is I think more prominent in some of the Protestant churches with some of the charismatic preachers, you know, that we end up following the preacher, the cleric, the rabbi, the deacon, the pastor, the bishop, or even the Pope himself. But that is not who we are called to worship, and that is not who we are called to follow. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. That is who we follow as Catholic Christians. And we need to be reminded of that. Quite often, we need to be reminded of that. And when these men and women fall from grace, they fall from their positions of authority. They fall from their positions, very honored positions, God-given positions. We are crushed. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, as I preached this last Wednesday, it is very important if we want to live a happy life, as well as we can live a happy life with suffering and pain that will come, that we can bind to the cross, that we can ask Jesus to help us in our suffering, in our sickness. Just like with when they were talking about Alex Trebek this last week, you see all of these people talk about praying. But is this the only time we talk about praying? Is that what we've been restricted to as a culture and society? That the only time that you can bring this up is when someone is about to die? This is very sad, my brothers and sisters, that our culture has come to this. But I tell you, it's also come to this, what I was talking about just a moment ago, is who do we follow? Who is my Jesus? Maybe it's a movie actor. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's my pastor or my school teacher, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife. That those are the people who I put everything into, all of my love, all of my hopes and dreams onto another person. My brothers and sisters, it is a terrible mistake. A terrible mistake. For no man or woman can take on that whole responsibility of the other. Only God, only Jesus Christ can handle that. That immense amount of pain and suffering and want and need and comfort that is needed supernaturally. We all need that. And I become a better husband. I become a better father. I become a better deacon. I become a happier person when I do not unload all these things upon my children that they need to make me happy, or my wife, or my job, or my career, or my pastor, or my bishop, or my pope, that they need to do everything the way I want it done to make me happy. That is the ultimate selfishness, my brothers and sisters. The ultimate selfishness. And this Lent, we must disconnect from that. This Lent, we must find a way back to the cross, to imitate Christ in this walk in the desert, in this confrontation with the devil, with Christ, not alone, with Christ, with Jesus, with the help and great love of the Blessed Mother. Many of us, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about how much we love her. Oh, yes, we can. We are Catholics. We love Jesus' mother. We adore her. We do. I do. Because it's the right thing to do. And not to listen to other men or women who say, well, you shouldn't do that. Jesus doesn't want you to do that. And that's the most ridiculous thing in the world you could ever hear. You know, just think about it. Use a little reason, right? The church is very big on reasoning, using the mind, and using your heart. And how offended would you be if Jesus, if you were to come into Jesus' home and the Blessed Mother is sitting in one chair and Jesus is sitting in another and you never said anything to his mother? Never said hello. Never said anything to her. Ignored her. Think about that, my brothers and sisters. It's a great offense. And it is a great offense. And it's a terrible offense. Because she is the supreme apostle. The par excellence. With Jesus from the very beginning. Running from Herod. Being terrorized by people and individuals wanting to kill her baby. Kill her child. And we still have those people today, too, do we not? Who want to kill the children. Kill the babies. The Herods of our day. They exist. It is real. Open your eyes. Very simple to see. Very simple to notice. Do not lie to yourself. Do not believe these lies of the devil. Oh, that's not happening. It is happening. I wanted to also touch on this. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're really glad you're with us here today. But I want to read this little reading, and I'm going to go through these intercessions. And we think about this from the Psalm 91. We think about from the beginning until our death, we are under the watchful eye and care and intercession of the angels. And that comes from Psalm 91. This is scriptures, my brothers and sisters. This is the scriptures. See? Not to listen to another man or another woman on what their opinion is. But what does scripture say? And the scripture plainly says that the angels watch over us. Our guardian angels. Watching over us. Trying to help us. You know, Bishop Fulton Sheen said, you know, God talks to us 1,000 times. Now, he didn't say whether it was a day or a week or a month, but I think it's probably a month. I bet it's 1,000 times a month. If you're away from the church, he probably talks to you 1,000 times a day. But I know God is always asking me, always pushing me, always asking me to go further, to strive further, to say you're sorry, to say hello to that person. How can I help you? God is always, always asking those things of me. Always. So also in Romans, we see how beautiful this is, you know, about confessing. And, you know, I can really see how our Protestant brothers and sisters see, how they think that, you know, all they need to do is say, Jesus, come into my life, and boom, it's done. Because that's what this says. That's what Romans 10 says. But we also know, my brothers and sisters, that through Scripture, we not only just need to look in one place. We need to look at the fullness of all the Scriptures and what the Church teaches us about baptism. See? And in the Acts of the Apostles, whole families were baptized. And then we go into this name of Jesus. The name of Jesus contained, the God-man, all salvation and all creation is contained in that name, Jesus. God is with us, the Messiah. St. Paul trusts in his boldness and this foundation in prayer. The Spirit in us and with the Father, who has given us his only Son. faithful love. Paul has this faithful love. And also from Romans, we pull this profession of faith, that we must profess our faith before men and women, that we are the people of God, and not to be ashamed of it. Say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I am a Catholic. Yes, I do love the Blessed Mother. And not to be ashamed of it. My brothers and sisters, the church invites everyone, excludes no one. We invite everyone. We exclude no one. But what we do is we exclude ourselves from God. Do you understand that? God does not walk away from us. We walk away from God. That's the truth. That's what we do. That's the fact of the matter. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go through this Lent, but also be attentive to our brothers and sisters who have fallen away, who have walked away. Love them. Care for them. Pray for them. Pray a decade of the rosary in their name every day to Jesus. Jesus, help them. Blessed Mother Mary, pray for them and help us. And finally, this is something that we can do this Lent as well. This mystery of the woman revealed in motherhood from Saint Pope John Paul the Great's Theology of the Body. And you can go to EWTN.com and look this under the papal documents of John Paul's Theology of the Body. In his general intercession on the 12th of March, 1980, the Holy Father fully further examines the concept of mutual knowledge between the first man and woman. The woman is brought to full awareness of the mystery of creation and its renewal in human generation. My brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to renew our love for God, renew our love for ourselves, renew our love for our families, and understand that this dependence that we have, this dependence and need for another person, needs to have God in it. We need to depend on God first. Otherwise, that relationship is not going to be healthy. It is going to be an overly dependent relationship. So my brothers and sisters, let us repent. Let us repent for our sins and follow the gospel as those words are spoken, as we receive those ashes upon our foreheads. Because we are dust. We will die. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But this day, this very day, let us live. Let us live not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, for our neighbors, for those people who are in most need, for those who are suffering the most in our world and in our communities. Let us pray for them. Let us be true followers of Jesus Christ. Not just Catholics, not just in this church or that church, but followers of Jesus Christ, fully committed to prayer and fasting and almsgiving and giving to God what is God's, which is us. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we love you.